The best advice anyone ever gave me was two words. You can't. And you know what my response was? Two words. Watch me.
So, good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
What are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to talk about the Police Academy physical fitness testing.
So preparing for the physical fitness component of a police academy.
Which I think is kind of one of the most important components to prepare for.
And I think you could clearly say that this would probably tie to any first responder fitness testing, even though there may be some different nuances to each test. Overall, the conditioning and stuff would be similar.
Yeah, and I mean, you can even tie some of these exercises into bodybuilding when you're looking at your cardio component. A lot of these would be good for cardiovascular endurance.
Certainly, and I think it's one of the most challenging aspects of the police academy training. Certainly there's, you know, the learning component, which is important, but the physical fitness side is what they really try to drive home, because you just don't know what you're going to be faced with when you get out there on the job.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you should keep up throughout your career, because again, there's that level of complacency, and you know, you want to always be ready for whatever is going to happen out there.
And this is a good topic right now with our different levels of experience, I think, because you can speak more recently to going through the academy experience. For me, you know, we're talking about 30 years ago, but I can speak to some of the types of situations that happen during a career that make you realize the importance of that physical conditioning and staying, you know, as close as you can into your top physical condition.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the new changes with the Police Training Commission and some of the new components to the physical aspect, I can talk on that as well. And then you can jump in with your experiences.
Yep. Licensing, you know, the changes that have come about, you know, and probably all for the better, as we'll come to see. But I think as we talk about the physical fitness component and preparing for the, you know, the first responder fitness tests, we can talk about the fact that clearly it's very demanding, stressful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I think, something that most recruits going into an academy are most nervous for, because, you know, they test you on that right away, and it's a pass or fail with a quick remediation. And then if you're not, you know, hitting those numbers at that point, you're out.
And, you know, we talk now a little bit about experience and change, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I started the academy, you just went up there day one and you started from there, whether you were in shape, out of shape. Once you got there, you know, you developed into the shape they'd want you in. But as I understand it, the academies now have a pre-test where you have to go up prior and go through the academy fitness test. And if you don't make it, that's it. It's a one and done.
Yeah, I mean, every agency is different, but now most agencies, especially going through the process and having taken multiple tests, each agency will test you. You have to pass that test. And then now the academy itself, depending on the academy, may do a pretest. And then you're tested again once you're down there. So, you know, you have to be prepared, you know, from the get-go, because if you don't pass that test for the agency, they're not going to send you through to the academy.
You know, and the importance of the strength training and the physical fitness testing going into the academy is it strengthens the body as well as the mind. You know, it gives you that, you know, that fortitude to, you know, do your best. And it teaches you how to adapt and overcome, and we'll talk about how it evolves as you go throughout the academy. But, you know, it's also a tool that induces stress, and it's designed that way because you're going to face a lot of stress in your career, and they want to see if your mind and body can hold up.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, getting into the components of the test nowadays, it's common knowledge. You know, it's out there. Police departments are posting it. So you're really doing yourself a disservice if you don't go online and look at what, you know, your academy or your agency is looking for from you. I know it varies from some departments, but for the most part, the physical fitness test is the same, you know, at least in the state of New Jersey, pretty much statewide.
Pretty standardized. So let's talk about how to approach it effectively. I think the first step or the first thing you want to do is understand the academy's physical fitness requirements. So whether you're testing at an academy or a particular department, sometimes the larger departments, depending on where you're located, do their own testing or pre-testing. What you want to find out is what's involved with that and what you need to know to be successful in completing that test. You don't want to go in there not knowing that you need to do push-ups or sit-ups or pull-ups or a particular exercise and then all of a sudden they hit you with it. Like you said, the information's out there, it's available, the towns are sharing it. So you want to understand those requirements.
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody seems to freak out when it comes to the physical fitness testing, but if you know it and you understand it and you prepare accurately, you'll have no problem with it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some of the common tests that we see in the physical testing components, whether it's a state police academy, municipal, you know, corrections. They have some standardized testing. So let's talk about some of those.
Well, I think the biggest thing in the testing that most people are nervous about is the run. I know the run is a 1.5 mile run. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if it's still this way, it's 15 minutes or less. Or 1550 or less, it's somewhere in that 15 minute range.
Yeah, it's, you know, as long as you're preparing, there's plenty of time. The biggest thing I saw going through, and I hear from people training that I know are trying to go through now, is people just don't prepare enough for the run. They think they, you know, can do it. They're like, it's one day, I'll give it everything I got and we'll see where it goes. But these are things that take time to get your body conditioned to, because what I want to stress as we go through here, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but everyone looks at these as individual exercises that we're going to touch on here in a minute. And the difference is, when you get to the academy or you get to that testing phase, it's not one exercise, then rest for a while, another exercise.
You get about probably anywhere between a minute to 2 minutes rest, depending on the size of the group testing. But it's really not that much time between exercises, and they do plan it out so that, you know, you're doing the easy stuff to the hard stuff. So if you exert yourself too much in the beginning, you know, you're not prepared enough at the end. So you really have to pace yourself throughout the entirety of the test.
So we'll talk about the importance of, when you're going through your training yourself leading up to this, how it's so important to train these exercises together and not individually, because that's not how you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested doing them all together with limited rest, and that has a big impact. So we're looking at basically a 1.5 mile run with a specified time. Then there's usually push-ups. Do you remember what the number of push-ups were for you?
It would be 24 push-ups in a minute. You had a minute to complete them. The sit-ups is the next thing, which was 28 in a minute. My academy also had a 300 meter dash. You had to complete that in, I believe, somewhere around the 70 something second range.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't remember the exact time, but I remember the exercise.
There's also the vertical jump, which you have to complete. You get about 3 attempts for that. And then depending on the academy, there could be pull-ups. I know we did an agility course. It wasn't for our first physical test, but we had a sequence of 3 different physical tests throughout the academy, and they all kind of changed with the exercises, but these core exercises were included in all of them.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, for our academy class, there was also some of the tests I had taken over the years involved the agility course or an obstacle course, where you had to get over a 6-foot wall or an 8-foot wall, depending on your academy. You know, there were things obviously designed to slow you down, challenge your skills and your balance. So that's something else to consider.
And just for people listening who don't fully know us, I think it's important to specify that we went to 2 different academies. Though you were a lot longer in the past, sorry to age you there. They were separate academies, so we do have separate experiences when it comes to our physical testing and different components of the academy.
But in general, the dynamics are the same once you're in there, and the practice of how they put you through it is pretty similar. So
yeah,
we're talking just up front. These are the primary things you want to be focused on going in for that initial test. Now, that's not going to mean that those are the only exercises you're going to do throughout the academy. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. These are more the standardized testing that you'll be gauged on whether or not you pass, fail, and are accepted into the academy to move forward. But again, you got to check with each academy to see what their testing requirements are, because the different academies have different, you know, minimums.
And if you aren't sure where to start or how to start, and you need a little bit more assistance than just this podcast, this is definitely a great guide. I know for myself, I used a trainer. I know we've talked about him before. I can't say enough about him. Rich Fitter. He was the one who really prepared me for this physical test.
And Fitter Tactical Strength.
Yeah. I mean, without him, I started not being able to do one push-up. I'm sure we'll get into that at some point, but you know, it's always good to have someone that can hold you accountable and help you too. So if anybody's looking to go in, definitely reach out to Fitter Tactical Strength, because he is well-versed in the physical testing components for police academies and any other type of academy.
And the interesting part for Rich is that I've personally watched him train different people for different academies. He's trained people for the federal, you know, physical fitness exam. He's trained people for municipal, state police, county. So he's well versed in what's needed in all of these areas, and all of those people have been successful. That's the one thing that's consistent with Rich. His plan for this is not just like most of us would come up with. You know, I'll go out and run a couple days a week. I'll do a couple push-ups every night. I'll do some sit-ups. I'll hit my 30 sit-ups or my 30 push-ups, whatever the minimum is, and I'm good, and I should be good when I get there. Rich puts together a plan that allows you to do all of these exercises connected with very minimal rest to condition your body overall so that you don't have any challenges once you get there. So again, we recommend check your websites for your departments or your academies that you'll be testing at. And that's where you'll be able to be sure of exactly what the testing component involves. So one of the things I want to touch on a little bit, Danielle, is we're talking about getting ready for this entrance test. But when you get in there, the physical training, or PT as it's referred to, is every day. It's a big part of your day. You usually start out your day. If anybody in the class or the class overall shows any, decline throughout the day, let's say, that the instructors see or recognize and want to improve on, you may wind up doing physical training twice a day. So with that being said, there's a lot of other exercises that you need to have your body conditioned for. And I thought maybe you want to touch on a couple of those.
Yeah. I know with my academy, it was a little bit different. We would PT 3 days a week with defensive tactics, which is also a huge part of the academy, 2 days as well, which is just as physically exerting. Now, because they're using a lot of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as their focus. However, throughout the day, there'd be times where someone's falling asleep in class, someone's kind of, you know, not paying attention, and all of a sudden they'd have you up and out on a break doing exercises. So talking, it really is every day.
Talking in the ranks.
Yep.
You know, somebody always gets caught.
So, I mean, some of these exercises are, you know, familiar to most people. For some, if you're not, there's always YouTube videos you can look at if you're not entirely sure what we're talking about. But things like flutter kicks, scissors, bicycles, side planks, mountain climbers, squat thrusts.
Oh yeah, I remember those well.
You know, one of the exercises I absolutely hated the most in the academy, they called them 8-count bodybuilders. It was like a mixture of a burpee with a push-up with a like mountain climber type thing. And oh my gosh, you'd have to do 8 counts of it 15 or 16 times. And that is very physically exerting.
And one of the things that you'll find is as you're going through the academy, the goal is to progress in everything, to progress in your learning, to progress in your physical fitness. So week one, if you're fortunate, you pass the entrance exam, you get into the academy. It starts out a little bit slower just to get everybody up to speed so that everybody's on the same page, and you may do, 18, 20 different exercises, and the repetitions may be 10 or 15, maybe 20 to start out, but you'll build. And as things change and progress through the academy, or the instructors find something they want to address, you may find yourself doing 80 squat thrusts as a group, followed by 80 mountain climbers, followed by 80 push-ups, and you need to be conditioned in order to be at that level.
Yeah, and I mean, you want to also know your exercises, so as they're teaching them to you, you know, pay attention, because I was there when we'd get to 9 of our 10 mountain climbers, and you'd hear, wrong, 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 start over, everybody start over. So that 10 you were doing is now 20, which becomes 30 because somebody does it wrong again, whether they're wrong or not. Sometimes you're just getting yelled at for nothing, and you're doing those for up to maybe even 30 minutes.
And it's all part of the mental game is what you have to prepare for as well, because part of policing is being able to deal with the public at all levels. You're going to deal with people screaming at you. You're going to deal with people getting physical. There's so many variables out there in policing. So part of this is to get you accustomed to getting frustrated and dealing with frustration and change and physical endurance at the same time, kind of overwhelming you to see how you handle those things and how you relate to that stress. And as Danielle mentioned, I remember there were times where, you know, whether it's mountain climbers or squat thrusts, which are just grueling on the body, you would get down and you would get to like number 40 out of 40. And the instructor would obviously say, you know, what number? I said 50, and then start over. And then, like she said, it became 90. And if somebody started to drop out, it might go up another 10. And those are just, part of that is not just the physical, but it's the mental, to get you prepared for that constant change and the stressors that come with it.
And you'll notice sometimes as those repetitions go up and, you know, you start working as a team, that mental component comes down a little bit. The instructors kind of give you a little breather. They see you're working together. So it's a real up and down throughout the whole academy of, you know, you might get a really easy day and you're like, oh, it's getting better. And then the next day they're yelling at you again. So, you know, you just got to remember it's a mental game and it's all for a purpose. And, you know, if you're conditioned enough, stick with it and, you know, you'll succeed.
So let's talk a little bit about developing a structured workout plan. This is where I'm going to let Danielle talk a little bit about some of the plan that was developed from for her specifically by Fitter Tactical Strength. That doesn't mean this is the only plan or the right plan for you as an individual. It's based on your ability. It's based on your, you know, an assessment of your strength and your conditioning, and it's designed to bring you along. But the one thing that's important is remembering that consistency is key. So you need to structure your training program to target the areas that are required by the academy, and especially areas that you find you're weakest in or you struggle with. And, you know, for Danielle, I know she said it was push-ups. For me, it was running. And I can tell you some of the mistakes I made when I prepared for the academy is I didn't have a great understanding of the expectations. I got a lot of different stories from different people I knew in law enforcement. And again, each person's ability is different. So some thought it was much easier, some thought it was much more challenging. But my focus, I tried to prepare myself. So I would go out and do some runs on certain days, not knowing anything about what I should be doing to prepare for that endurance. So one day I may run a half mile. The next day I may have run, you know, 3/4 of a mile, then another half mile the day after. I had no rhyme or reason. I just knew I needed to be out there getting my conditioning up. And I was continuing to go to the gym and trying to strength train at the same time and focusing more on that than I was my conditioning. And later on, it came back to hurt me.
Yeah, I would say definitely, you know, when you're developing your workout plan, you also want to add rest in there, because if you're not resting, your body's not going to recover and it's going to be harder. You know, in the academy, it's 5 days a week. So you want to be able to be prepared for that, but don't overexert yourself before you get there. And then you're burnt out when you're there. So add in, you know, a couple of rest days. For me, I think we added in 2. Sometimes it was the weekend, sometimes it wasn't, based on my schedule. But it's kind of what works for you. And if you are working with a trainer or working with a partner, you know, coordinate that with one another. But I think the main thing for me was the running and the push-ups were my biggest downfall and my biggest weakness.
And the running due to your knee injury too was a challenge.
Yeah, I was coming back from a reconstructive surgery on my knee. I had a whole tendon replaced. So that was a struggle. I know I've said in other podcasts, I look like a waddling duck sometimes running. And that was something I was concerned about, not only making it with the run, but my knee stability, because I knew I was going to be running on sand. I was going to be running on uneven surfaces, on grass.
And the sand was because your academy was down on the beach.
Yes. So again, that's another component. You want to think about where your academy is,
right,
what kind of terrain you're going to be on, and incorporating that into your training. I know we have a local park that has some sand. I would go there and I would just run back and forth, though it wasn't a long stretch. I would just make like circles, squares, whatever I had to do to get used to that terrain.
For me, our academy, we ran on pavement, but it wasn't flat, even pavement. You know, there was a pitch to it. So at one point you were running a little bit downhill. At one point you were running uphill. And I had the misfortune of having to go to the academy more than once, because the first time I went to the academy running on that pavement, there was basically a landfill you know, behind the county landfill, behind the police academy. So all day long, vehicles would be coming in and out, bringing debris back there. And I, while I was running down to the cars in our parking lot to return our equipment during the day, I stepped on a piece of stone that was, you know, gravel that was laying on the pavement, and I rolled my ankle. And I damaged the ligaments and couldn't make the recovery in time to get back to the academy in the required amount of time. So I had to be recycled through in another class. But again, knowing the environment, is it blacktop? Is it sand? Is it on a track? Do they have their own facility? Is it clear? Are there possible obstacles? These are things once you get in there that you've really got to be prepared for. So no, it was good that you mentioned about the sand, because that's a big component for you.
Yeah, and, you know, scheduling your workout plan, you know, I sat and I talked with Rich Fitter and I explained, you know, from my end, what I knew I needed, what I thought that my weaknesses were, and, you know, what I knew about the academy. And he developed a phenomenal plan. And again, it worked for me. If it's not for you, you can always tailor it. But
with your plan, did it specifically address certain exercises on certain days, or was it a mix of the various components of the test together for your training?
It was a little bit of both. There were some days that were, you know, solely targeted on my weaknesses and, you know, really focusing on those push-ups and the running. Some days it was a component of all of it. Some days it was a mix of exercises. And some days we added in some strength training. And for me, that was because my knee was still unstable, so I needed to do some, you know, trap bar deadlifts to really strengthen all those supporting muscles. We did do some upper body workouts to strengthen the muscles that would help me with my push-ups and pull-ups.
Right.
But a majority of it was that cardio endurance, so that I could be able to get through all of the exercises throughout the academy.
What I saw was, in my experience personally, and what I saw from some other guys and girls throughout my class, is people that tended to focus solely on their normal training routine and adding a little running, let's say. So if you're a person that goes to the gym and you do strength training, you know, bench press and pull downs and, you know, lat raises and everything else, what happens is, even though you're strengthening those muscles, you're not preparing for the actual conditioning that is needed along with the strength to get through these in the order which they're given in the test. So I saw people were struggling with that, because what happens is your cardio resistance is down. So you're winded. When you're winded, your strength isn't as high. So even though you might have been able to do 10 or 12 pull-ups prior, you just ran a mile and a half. You did, you know, 60 sit-ups, what have you. And now you're trying to do the pull-ups, and all of a sudden you can't get 5 or 6 because your body's just fried. So it's important to work on that conditioning as opposed to just cardio or just strength, and having that ability to put this whole package together. And that's where I really struggled. Like I said, if it was just the sit-ups, just the push-ups, or maybe just the run, I would have been fine. But as those were put together, it really beat me down because I didn't prepare correctly.
And that's where I think, you know, learning from you, talking to other people, and working with Rich, I put together a program that really helped me excel in the academy. And though I wasn't, you know, the top PT, you know, person, I got through, and I was in that, you know, front portion of the class, and that was always my goal. So what Rich would have me do on a typical day, you know, I'd start with a half a mile, like light run, kind of get myself prepared to get into my workout for the day. I'd come back, I would do push-ups, but I wouldn't just do the 24 that were needed for the test. He'd say, you know, on this day, you're going to do 50. If you need to break them up, do 10, rest for a few seconds, 10, rest, 10. But my rests were no longer than 60 seconds. After that 60 seconds max, I had to get back into the push-ups to condition myself.
Keeps you conditioned.
And keep my heart rate up and keep moving. You know, from there, I might do some sprinting. You know, and if you're working out in a gym, if you're in a location where you can go outside and, you know, sprint through a parking lot if it's safe, or behind a building, I know that the gym that we had at the time, there was a good way to run around the building. So that's where I would do all of my running, because you don't want to be stuck on a treadmill.
Right.
You know, that's not going to prepare you for the terrain you're going to be on, for navigating and looking around and being aware of your surroundings as you're running, because that's very important in the academy, as you're running in a group. you're not running, you know, by yourself. You need to be able to pass people appropriately if you need to, or stay within that group, keep the pace. So running outside was, you know, really important. Then I'd come back, I would do my sit-ups. Again, I wouldn't just aim for the 28. I would go for, you know, probably around 50 or so, maybe more, maybe less, depending on the day and the programming. And then right after that, I'd go out, I'd do a run. Sometimes it would be the mile and a half. On a day that was just targeted more for running, the goal was always to be able to run 3 miles comfortably. That's the, you know, number Rich and I came up with. If I can go into the academy running 3 miles comfortably, I'll be in a good spot to progress. Because in the beginning, you're running a mile, then it goes up to a mile and a half,
right,
then it's two, and then you go up from there. I think we ended running about 8 miles, you know, each, you know, run day by the end. So if you can go in at three, you'll be able to build yourself up and make those, you know, longer mile runs, no problem.
And that's important to remember, that you want to train for the unknown, really, because we had what we would call guest runners, guest instructors that would come in, and there were days I just cringed because you'd find out that the instructor that was coming in that day to take us on the run was a marathon runner, and you knew damn well you weren't going on a 1.5 mile run. Like you said, some of ours were 5, 8, 10 mile runs, and when you get into those length of runs, they're not around a track or, you know, on a flat surface. You wind up going uphill, downhill, all different terrains. A couple times we'd come back through the woods. So as part of your training, it may be something you want to consider to incorporate those types of things into your training. And again, it's something you got to focus on setting a time for. You want to look at what your pace needs to be for that mile and a half run in the academy, and then try to work towards that pace, even if you're going uphill or off-road or something.
And that's exactly what, you know, Rich had me do. At first it was, I don't care how you get it. 3 miles, no stopping. I don't care how long it takes you to do it. Hit the 3 miles, no stopping. And then it was, okay, here's where we're at. Next time you run 3 miles, I want a minute less, a minute less. And if you're training with enough time before you start testing, this will work. Now, if you know you're testing a little bit sooner, you know, you can tailor your workouts, but you still want to be hitting the numbers past what you need to pass that test.
And you just hit on something so important. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that have either failed a test or, you know, had to retest because they missed by a certain percentage and they were given opportunity to retest. But the common theme I was finding is they were waiting too long to start training. If you know this is something you want to go into, this is a line of work you want to be in, you want to start taking, you know, police or fire entrance exams for the academy, start today. Don't wait until the notice comes out or that you get the notice that the test is coming up in 3 weeks. You're not going to prepare in that short of a time. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment you need to make if you want to do well.
And just for example, for me, I've known I wanted to go into law enforcement since I was a little kid. So as I got older and I was in college and I knew this is it, I started, you know, preparing. Unfortunately, had a knee injury, rehabbed that. And I would say probably about 2019 is when I really started getting serious about preparing. 2020 with COVID, I really took the opportunity of going outside for a run and preparing. So I really started fully in 2020. And I started testing in 2021 and I had no problems at that point. So I gave myself about a year. You know, everybody's physical fitness level is different, but I would say at least, you know, 6 months to a year before you start testing is an adequate amount of time to build up that endurance and that cardiovascular, you know, ability.
So many people, like I said, I've heard, you know, limited to, they're like, well, you know, I have a month until the test comes up. I'm going to start running is what they'll say to me.
Not enough time.
No way. And what they don't account for in that month's time is the potential for inclement weather, you know, schedule things happen, injuries.
Illness.
Yeah, absolutely. And then next thing you know, out of that month, maybe they ran five times. And now they get to the physical fitness test. they miss the mile and a half run by, I don't know, let's even say a minute or less. They're frustrated with themselves because they realize, had I prepared just a little bit sooner, I would have passed and I wouldn't have to go back to the drawing board and start over again.
And with that, I want to bring up something important that I, you know, I'm definitely going to touch on push-ups, but it goes for any of these exercises. Form is one of the most important things when it comes to the test.
Absolutely.
These instructors are down on the ground, they are counting, and they are making sure you're doing them to their standard. And so when you're taking the test, and whether it's the push-ups, the sit-ups, whatever exercise it is, you will hear no count, no count, no count if they are not to the adequate form. So you may do 5 or 6 phenomenal push-ups, and then that 7th one you don't get low enough, and you'll hear 6, 7, no count, no count, 8, no count, no count.
And right, and then to do 30 push-ups, you're doing 50 because you didn't get them right. You know, I've had the opportunity over the years after graduating the academy and being involved in police work to get to know some of the instructors personally. And let me tell you something, these guys are very firm, but very fair.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I found is that they will be able to do what they're asking you to do, no matter what their age is, because these guys keep themselves conditioned, because the last thing they want to do is be telling a recruit something doesn't count. And then the recruit challenges them and says, well, you know, I think that was a straight push-up. My back was straight. My hips were straight. Those instructors will get down and show you what it looks like, and they'll do 50 or 60 without blinking an eye, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the instructors in my academy, I mean, we called this guy a machine. He was in phenomenal shape. He could do just about anything. He made running look like he was gliding. It was just insane to watch.
It's amazing.
He challenged us with this one type of exercise one day, and I remember the recruit who was standing up there was just very confused and said, sir, I don't understand. And all of us were like, how are we going to do 15 of these? And he said to us, I will never show you something I couldn't do with you. And he got down and did the exercise with us. And that's when I realized, like, A, these guys know what they're doing. They aren't, like, messing around. And they will sit there and do all of these exercises with us. And some of them not even break a sweat.
Yeah. And you know, these guys are police officers themselves at various levels and ranks. And they're pressed to do the job. And they lead by example by showing you, look, this is the shape you need to be in. When we owned our gym, we had a couple of instructors from the police academy that used to come to our gym. And, you know, one of these guys I've known a long time, he's in his 50s as well. And watching him work out was like watching a 25-year-old. You know, he just kept himself conditioned, because how do you push recruits and expect that level of performance if you can't do it yourself? But another thing I want to touch on here before we go too much further is the importance of nutrition and recovery.
Right before you get to that, I just want to go back to the form really quick before we get off topic. So I had terrible form with push-ups. I look back at the first push-up I did, and there's video of it, and oh my goodness, it would never have counted in a million years.
No.
So something that Rich had me do that I highly recommend to anyone who can't do a push-up, because I know, especially for females, and this is something I've heard from many females I've worked with or talked to about testing, is they struggle with it. And the first thing Rich had me do was take one of those yoga blocks.
Yep, I remember that.
Put it on the ground and touch it as I went down to do my push-ups. And he said,
touch it with your chest.
With my chest, sorry. And he made me do that, and he said, we're going to do that until you can do sets of 100, you know, broken up by 10 with rests, sometimes doing them to get to that 24. He'd have me do variations, but he said, until you can do the physical fitness test and do your 24 in a minute with that block, we're not moving on. Once we did that, we started doing different variations. We would do all sorts of push-ups that he had me do. He had me do ones that he'd call like a clock. And every time I would do a push-up, I'd move my legs around like a clock in a circle. I did ones all the way down the turf. You know, I do a push-up, move a step, push-up, move a step. And then when it came to the test, I hit those 24 no problem before the time.
With gas left in the tank.
And I was still going. And I remember when I took my first physical exam in the academy, I looked at my score sheet and it said 30. And I was just stoked, because I was like, not only did I hit my 24, but I still kept going.
Exceeded it, right.
So definitely, you know, different variations of push-ups, different intervals, different amounts. Don't just go for that 24 and be done. But I do recommend every 2 weeks putting yourself through the test and seeing your progress, because that'll help you gauge when you're ready for that test.
And again, remember, it's very specific when you get there with the instructors. Like Danielle was just talking about the push-ups. You know, a lot of times they'll sit next to you on the floor. They've got their fist on the floor underneath. They tell you to come down and touch their fist. And you'll think you are, because you'll feel your shirt touch it and push up a little bit. And they don't count that particular one because they want to feel, you know, this the bone of your chest touching their fist. So you got to be prepared to go the whole way with everything. There's no cheating this process. But let's go back again to nutrition and recovery. You were talking about the importance, obviously, of recovery and rest on the body. We beat that every session, whether it's bodybuilding, whatever you're training for, your body needs to recover. And nutrition's important. Again, everybody's different. We're not here to, you know, just give out nutrition advice, because what applies for me wouldn't apply for Danielle, depending on what goals you need to reach. But one of the things you want to focus on is maintaining that healthy, balanced diet, prioritizing that protein intake, you know, for muscle recovery. Obviously you need the carbs for energy, and some, you know, healthy fats for overall health, good fats, not bad fats. And hydration is key.
Absolutely.
Especially with the running. Another exercise you'll face when you get in the academy usually is jump rope. We did a lot of jump rope.
Yep.
So your body has to get used to that constant movement, that constant conditioning, and you have to keep it properly hydrated. I know we would get breaks very quickly. I mean, sometimes you had to run to get that drink. And
absolutely. You had to run to fill up your bottle, or, you know, you always wanted to make sure your bottle was filled any break you had.
And again, some of it is going to be the head games associated with it, where you may run to get that drink, and as soon as you fill your bottle and you're about to take that first sip, they call the break over, and you're not able to get that drink. And they do it on purpose to see how you can adjust, because when you're out there in the field someday, you're not going to get that meal, you're not going to get that drink, things are going to come up and happen. And
Oh, yeah. You
have to know that you can deal with those things. So focus on your nutrition, make sure you have that dialed in. I can't tell you how many people I've seen over the years, or talked to, or even when we owned the gym, that were telling us they were training for you know, physical fitness tests, and then you'd see them, you know, coming in or leaving, and, you know, stopping at the McDonald's on the way out, and some of the stuff you'd see them consuming. And even when I would ask them sometimes, I'm like, you know, bro, I just saw you leave the gym and then you swung over to McDonald's, what were you doing? And they're like, well, you know, I worked out really hard. I ran, I did this or that, you know, it was no big deal. I just got a cheeseburger. I was really hungry. You don't want to set yourself back.
Yeah, because then you just kind of undid all the work you just put in.
And more.
And it's, you know, it's not, I understand the convenience and sometimes you don't have the time. There are so many healthy options that you can find out there that, you know, yeah, maybe a few bucks more, but you're investing in yourself. And I think that's more important. So instead of running to McDonald's, you know, just an example, I know I've had to do it sometimes. Wendy's, they have salads. You can get the chicken grilled.
Yeah, grilled chicken's a good option.
You know, it's healthier. Yeah, it's fast food, but it's a healthier version that'll fuel your body a little bit better and help you get a little more in your tank than, you know, McDonald's cheeseburger.
Or you just stop and see me. I've always got 8 or 9 protein bars in my gym bag. You know that.
Yeah, I mean, and I've started, you know, especially in the academy and now being on the job, you know, trail mix, protein bars, little healthy things that I can fit in my backpack. So when, you know, I need something, I pull it out, I quick eat it. If I'm, you know, out on a job or I'm, you know, stuck doing something, I'm not, oh my gosh, no food, where do I go? Now I'm eating junk that I shouldn't be eating.
And as you're going through and you're training for your test, make sure you're eating properly before you train too. I've talked to people that go out on runs and they get out there and they're dizzy, they're lightheaded, they have to stop, you know, maybe didn't eat something before they went. Just these are things you'll learn that'll help you through the process.
Something huge, now that you said that, brought to my mind. Test your pre-test meal before you go. Maybe, you know, a couple weeks before or whatever, set yourself up on a Saturday or Sunday. I'm going to put myself through the test. And, you know, limited breaks in between your exercises, but figure out what you're going to eat that morning. Everybody's different. There's some people that need that big breakfast to get them through.
Right.
There's some people that don't eat. I am not a breakfast person. I don't like to eat breakfast. I've changed over the years because of, you know, bodybuilding prep and things like that. I would eat before my tests one Pop-Tart, whether it was like a strawberry frosted or a brown sugar cinnamon. Those were my two that were pretty good. And a banana.
And let's preface, I know we just talked about avoiding unhealthy foods and junk food, but a Pop-Tart, believe it or not, is a good mix of carbs and sugars, enough to get you through a workout. We're not suggesting sitting around eating Pop-Tarts, but as a pre-workout, it's certainly a good option. Sometimes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, yep, the same thing, right balance of some carbs, some fats, some protein to get you through that workout. But there are a lot of options.
And, you know, bring a little something with you, whether it's a protein bar, a protein shake, something that as soon as you're done, you can have that, because that'll replenish you, because you will feel very tired and winded at the end of your test.
We're going to go, I just want to recap, because this is the most important thing I think that I can drive home, or we can drive home here. You know, we can't write your workout for you. We can't tell you what you need, because we're not there to assess you. That's going to be something you're going to have to either figure out on your own, or we highly recommend, you know, you're talking police or firefighter entrance exam, you're looking at a career, you're looking at a 30-year career that you really want. And there's nothing more valuable than investing in yourself and your future. So this is probably something that if you want it bad enough, you take the time to find a good quality trainer that specializes in these types of areas, not just a trainer that's going to give you a regular workout, but someone that knows how to put this together to allow you to be consistent, push your limits, and get you to where you need to be. And I think the most important thing we can stress here is find out what the exercises are that are going to be on the exam that you're going to take, the amount of each exercise or repetitions that you need to do, the distances, etc., and then put those in the order that they give them to you, and or that they show up on their website. And when you're training each day, train those exercises together. Don't train just running one day, push-ups another day, maybe pull-ups another day. If it's a mile and a half run, if it's 30 push-ups, 30 sit-ups, you know, just go right through that order. When you finish that mile and a half run, get a drink, hydrate yourself, take 2 minutes, probably is about all they're going to give you to rest, you know, boom, go right into your push-ups, you know, take a minute and a half, right into your sit-ups. And if you do that consistently, the day that test comes, you should be able to walk right through.
And, you know, things are guaranteed to change, and, you know, not every academy is the same, but from when I went through, I can give you kind of a basis of the order, because I think, you know, they're still doing it this way. I've talked to people that have just gone through the academy and it hasn't changed, at least in New Jersey. You start with the vertical jump. So you got to be prepared to do that right off the bat. Then it goes into the sit-ups. You do have some rest time depending on where you kind of fall in the lineup of people that are there. And you will have a partner for that. So you'll have somebody holding your legs so you can do sit-ups. So that's something else you don't need to stress. Like, how am I going to do these sit-ups? You know, when I practiced, I always put my legs under something. So someone will be there to help you. Then you'll go out, you'll do your sprint. You'll have a few minutes, you'll come back in, push-ups. And the last thing they make you do is the run. So mentally prepare yourself that the run is the last thing. So you're already going to be tired. So when you practice, if you want to start with the run and do a longer run in your practice, that's fine. But when you're setting yourself up for the test, put the run last and see how your body reacts to doing all of that before the run.
And I think something that's important that just came to my mind that I completely disregarded before and just jumped out at me is on the days that you're training, if the weather's not favorable, train anyway. When you get to the day of that test, or you go through the police academy, or you become that police officer or firefighter, you're going to run in the rain, you're going to do your exercises in the rain in the academy if need be, you're going to do that obstacle course in the rain. Don't let the weather slow down your training, and it's actually going to help you if you train through those elements, because if you're faced with them, you have to deal with them.
And you might be going through the academy in the winter. I ran in the snow with a hat, gloves, and a big jacket.
Yep.
Layer yourself, be prepared. We talked about me running on the beach. I had the ocean water hitting me. I had my legs completely drenched with water in sweatpants. In the winter, running, you're going to be cold. You're going to feel pain. You need to get used to it. And if you're under the weather, you still should go run and train, because in the academy, there are no sick days. And you're there.
And train all different ways. You know, you just bringing back some memories now. In the way the police academy works, and I would imagine fire academies are similar, but if one person forgets their hat on a 25 degree day and a class is going out for a run, guess what? Nobody's wearing a hat.
We had so many people forget things, or, you know, whoever your platoon leader was for the week got to make the outfit call. So when you had that guy that loved shorts in 20 degree weather, you had some very unhappy people. But we had people who got a little smart with it. So here's a little pro tip if you're going to the academy. If you know somebody who went before you and has extra hats or extra things that they gave and they're willing to loan you, we had people with extra beanies, extra hats that we had to wear during the academy because those got lost or fell in a toilet or, you know, anything. Reach out to some friends, kind of gauge what the academy is going to be like, talk to them, especially if they just went through. They're the best people to talk to, because though the academy doesn't change a lot over the years, there are some little things that might change, and the people who just went through are the best to give you some advice on exercises and workouts.
And here's something else I think is really important. You know, when I went through the academy, or Danielle or anybody, you're talking about a group of anywhere from 20 to 50 people, let's say. Just like anything else, whether it's bodybuilding, whether it's academics, whether it's physical training in a police academy, everybody has different abilities. So even before I went in, I talked to, you know, a handful of people, and some of them said, it's no big deal. I breezed through it. I've been through boot camp or whatever else in the military, and maybe for them, it was easy. And then other people I talked to were like, oh my God, just run every day. I couldn't handle the running. It was tough. You'll struggle with the running. So I guess where I'm going is, whether you're training for this, you're training to compete on stage, whatever, you know yourself, you know your body, you know what you need. You know if you need that extra push in running, that extra push in push-ups, you need to do the extra curls or the extra, you know, squats for your legs to get on that stage, whatever. Prepare for you. Ask people for their advice as to how it was, so you know the expectations of what you need to have with you. But prepare for yourself how you know you are mentally and physically, because it's really you against you out there, not the class. It's a matter of just graduating, getting through, and getting that career that, you know, you've been trying so hard to achieve.
And actually, to your point there, I was going to add a little something about the group aspect. So yes, it's about you. When you go in, you have to take those tests. You have to walk across that stage. It's a very individualistic thing. However, part of the academy is that camaraderie and team building,
support,
you know, experience. You know, you're going to be out there, and yes, at the end of the day, you have to go home, but so does the partner that you're with. You're not leaving your partner out there. So I know
absolutely
one of the biggest memories for me in the academy was we did our final run, and all of us were just, you know, so excited because we knew this was it. This was the last run. We're about to graduate. It's going to be great. So we're all hyped up. We're about to start singing our cadences as we're running. And the instructors go, you have whatever it was, X amount of time to finish it. And whoever doesn't finish, you're going to be doing extra PT while everybody else gets to go in and, you know, get a break or whatever. And I remember we were running and we were coming up on the end, and there was one recruit who was very, very far behind. And we all made the collective decision of, hey, listen, if they're going to make us do extra PT, we're all going to do it. We're a team.
Yep.
At this point, we're all graduating. We're all getting through that finish line. We're doing it together. And we all looped back and we let that recruit lead us. And we said, on you, on your pace. And we all followed. And I remember the instructors were just so proud of us for that, you know, I think they cut us loose for the day after that. They said, you know what? You guys go rest. We'll see you tomorrow, you know, and have a good day. And so sometimes it's that help your friend, you know, don't hurt yourself in the process, but help build someone else up, because that person next to you might need that push to run a little faster or get that last push up. So, you know, remember to help those around you as well.
Yep. Everyone has those challenges, and we all have those days. You know, some days are better than others, but, you know, team work's what it's all about. And don't be afraid leading up to testing to try to find a partner that you can work out with. It certainly helps you push each other. You know, certainly helps you hold each other accountable, just mm-hmm. like bodybuilding or anything else. You know, it's easier sometimes to run that mile and a half or the 3 mile practice run, getting ahead of it with somebody else with you. You know, clearly it helps when you're doing push-ups and sit-ups because you can count for each other. You can make sure the exercise is counting the full rep. So don't be afraid to go out there and partner up with somebody else that you see at maybe some of these tests that's trying and struggling themselves. That's very helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I did that in the runs when I was in the academy. I would find somebody in front of me that I knew was a decent runner, and I'd say, okay, I'm going to pace with them. I'm going to follow them. I'm not going to lose them. And that was my mentality to get through. You know, I didn't really have a partner when I was preparing. You know, I had a coach who was great and would push me, but I didn't have that person next to me that was running with me, so I had to push myself. But when I got there, at every test, I'd find someone that was towards the front, and I'd stick with them the whole run so I didn't fall behind, and that's helpful.
Yep, absolutely. And like I said, you know, consider some kind of personal trainer or coach that can get you through this, and make sure it's someone that has some background and familiarity with these types of tests. If you're looking for someone like that, again, we strongly recommend Rich Fitter at Fitter Tactical Strength. You can find him on Instagram and Facebook. And Rich has, like I said, worked with people from federal academy, state, county, municipal. So he's well-rounded and certainly someone, if you're looking for someone, that would be very helpful and could get you there. But thank you for joining us again for this episode. And as we always like to say, if we can do it,
why not you?
Why not you? Thank you.